in more than a year. So, I mean, we do end up doing funny things like that, but when it comes to writing, we do that. That just kind of jumped out at me.
Chilling in the tomb.
Yeah, the last week has been.
We're going to have some book talk. While listening to some book talk. If you hear it in the background, that is the very Alone in a Room with Invisible People podcast. I want to say TV. It is TV to me. Good news.
The
best part about writing for me is being in the journey. Just, you know, absorbing and let the muse take over, you know. I feel like when they say Alone in a Room with Invisible People, Rebecca Gallardo and her mother and well-esteemed author, Holly Lyle, I feel like they said, you know, everywhere you go, it's like you're living in your own world. You know, through your own eyes, you get to see what you get to see. You know? And for those of us that are writers, get to envision other worlds, you know? And it's dope. I can't put it any other way. It's dope, you know? So, the deal is, though, this is really what I want to talk about today. Writing with mental illness, disease, stigma, whatever you want to call it. It's very hard because if you're going to write a book, you need focus. I mean, you need drive and goal-oriented, driven motivation. You know, to aspire to finish your book that you started or wanted to write or want to write, you know, respectfully. But, you know, it's a groove to get into, just like anything else, you know. If you want to write, you prioritize it. Now, as I said, you know, mental whatever stuff, you know, you may struggle with thinking, as I do, I'll be honest with you, thinking, oh, well, what will this person think? Because when you're a writer, you don't realize, you know, it's about the shit that you like and don't like about life. It's not about people. It's about life, you know? So in this class of life, the leaping lessons of love. It's formidable to say, I came up with it. I didn't. It came to me. And since then, we've been grooming each other. You know, being quotient, I'm making up a word, because one of my favorite authors ever is Dr. Seuss, because he got away with making up words and making them rhyme. You know, Cat in the Hat. Fox in the Box, you know, Green Eggs and Ham, you know, so, hey, so, but Crochet, the Alone in a Room with Invisible People gang is, you get to be in a world of your own, you know, and when your muse takes over, as mine is, you know, It's hard because, you know, the logic of it, that side, the editor side of you is like, oh my gosh, comma, splice, semicolon, what are we doing with this quotation mark here? Hyphen, like, I'm breaking all the codes, y'all, because I really don't give a damn. Books are supposed to be a world outside of your own, so you can, quote, escape to it, or unscape to it, I like that better, unscape definition, to find yourself, not to lose yourself, not to go away, but to go find yourself. So, books are supposed to be to unscape yourself, you know, they're meant to, supposed to teach you, hey, everything's all right, life's okay. You know, life is hard, as I said at the beginning of this podcast. I'm sitting in the tub, as I'll be honest with you, life's been hard on me. I'll start with jock itch, just to make it really clear how personal things have been, stress headaches, and stomach aches, you know. And I don't remember if I said on the last podcast, but we were hospitalized. Oh, we did say that. But, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm any better than anyone. I'm different, you know, so I handle my pain different, you know. As I've said before, you know, arthritis. But, you know, it's with all of that, it is hard for me to write, you know. Being legally blind, you know, I have access to write in a larger screen, but it's hard for me to see it. My eyes are stagnant, you know, thank God. We just went to the eye doctor, so that's cool. But, you know, it's, we're just in the tub relaxing, talking about books. I'm going to just fade away and let the AIA RWIP people talk to for anybody that is looking for a writing group, I have my own with a few colleagues of mine. We write, and, you know, talk about writing. Also, you know, just, we become friends as well, so just check on each other every once in a while. But it's on Discord. If you'd like, just check the link in the description. It'd be a Discord resip writing endeavors secret imagination place. I got the forgive me, but honorary apropos condolences, camaraderies. I don't know. I feel like just saying a lot of words too, alone in a room with invisible people, y'all. They've taught me a lot about how to write.
Yeah, well, okay, so let's take a look at Frazier. Frazier doesn't have, I mean, it has a lot of
Frazier's coming back,
there's certain things that
Did you hear that? Frasier, the show from the 90s. Isn't that Kelsey Grammer? Coco, that's Kelsey Grammer.
There was a
Rod Adventure coming from Jack McFrey. The black dude.
Flower, just a floral.
High top feet, mid top feet, low top feet.
And all the other fish sent flowers. So this is simple humor, but it's that is actually contained. You know, because you know something horrible. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I wouldn't be able to do that. Right. Right. That's the thing. Okay, so that's, there's observational humor, which is not always part of it. Right. But then there is the humor that you can bring to your own that is almost exclusively going to come from some extrapolation of an experience. Something that you have experienced, and to make it funny, to make it worse, to make it bigger, to make it meaner, and then to change what happens at the end.
Well, I'm okay with you saying almost exclusively. I was not okay with you saying no exception.
Okay, all right. Yes, all right, I will give you that. Sure, cat videos are always funny.
I believe this episode alone in a room with invisible beacons. Writing humor in your story, writing funny things, funny characters,
so
funny scenes.
If we are saying that deeper humor comes from shared pain, then it also comes from the empathy that you as the writer and the person who is reading it share, that you have both experienced something like this. And
respectfully, I have not read any of Holly Lyle or Rebecca Gallardo's books, but that is because that is not my style of genre. As they say, you know, I'd rather get a book that I want to read than a book that I'm going to drag my way all the way through
just
it.
Talking you through this,
you know, kind of like homework. Do your homework, kids.
This is probably not going to be a worksheet you can play along with while we're doing the podcast. You might have to dig a bit to find the places where you have your humor. And there are a couple of issues also with humor. One is that of individual reaction, which is different people find different things funny, and some things that some people find funny, other people find appalling, and this is just across the entire human race.
A good example is Gallo's humor.
Gallo's humor, mocking somebody.
There's political humor.
Yeah, political humor is that's, you know, 50% of your audience in a two-party country, and however you're, party has 13 countries and it's divided up by that percentage, and it just gets smaller for the group that will find you funny.
Yeah, and then there's religious humor, which a lot of people find offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you, I think you were just about to say, is stuff like America's Funniest Videos, where it's constantly a guy getting hit in balls or people falling. Or yeah, I personally don't find that funny.
Yeah, I don't find somebody, I don't find pratfalls funny. Oh, I mean, unintentional lie, somebody flopping on the ground and skinning knees and getting up battered and bruised.
A lot of people like the parkour fails or the skating fails, and I'm like, I don't understand that. Yeah, no.
Oh, God, I can't watch those.
Especially considering you were a nurse, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I worked on the follow-ups for those things, and that just sucks the humor right out of that for you.
No, see, and I just don't, I'm
see, as I say, you know,
it sounds like I'm
not everything's for everyone.
Not, I'm
too
compassionate for people. But
find your flock. Find your community.
All the empathy in the world.
I feel bad for people if they don't laugh when that stuff happens. And it's just, I'm not judging people who do this.
I remember me talking about you.
Because
it hurt me to talk about you. Because you hurt me.
So
that's why I talked about you. Because you hurt me, and now I hurt you.
Culture,
So now, we're just going to talk about who, or whose peace is going to be true. Can peace be two? If two pieces was 50, then 100 is nifty. A nifty, crispy Franklin Benny. And Jet.
That is also
Elton Jenny.
Related to timing. There's that's something that was studied 50 years ago that you
now I'm talking something fast.
No, that's terrifying.
That's Jenny Craig. Wait.
There's stuff that people
is that an Atkins style? Or is that Jenny Craig? I'm too fast for you, Slim. Like Jenny Craig. I ain't talking about Slim Shady.
Yeah, like,
so you can get that out your baby. Pop that baby mind of yours. You want to develop a brain child of yours. Trying to develop. And I train time to kill yours. No.
Yeah, it is.
I train time to get away from yours.
I think both the bravest
because yours is like snores. I feel like it's a grinder conversation over and over and over and over and over. It's Boris. So Boris the snores like Timon and Pumbaa or Rafiki. Got a walking stick for me, see? Coco. My front dog. My front runner. She on the front line, like a bun bun. She hop into action, bark into action. She bark into the backing, making sure that I'm clapping. When we clapping, we snapping, tapping, and dapping. What up? I keep it kosher, cordial. To the ordinance of orchestras. My symphony is like an organ.
And,
I get mellow Beethoven with it.
All the wrong places and then in some right places.
Like a melatonin
and,
pill gummy with
it was wonderful.
I make him go to sleep.
And it showed.
Because my pain is deeper than deep. See, my pain is like TLC cream. So sleep, baby, sleep. Counting sheep. Baby, ooh, sheep. Baby, gather them sheep before one of them creep away. Like the lone sheep Jesus went to go find so we could stay with the flock. Find your flock. That's your community. Book talk. Poetry. That's our community. What up, though? Mr. Pogo. Feels good to be in the bathtub, y'all. I'll be honest.
Laugh at yourself.
I'll be honest, y'all. It's very hard to move on daily, but the fact that people have said that I'm lazy, and they're not me, they ain't got my pattern. Some, you know, may have endured similar, but they're still not me. You know, we walk in same differences all day. So, to call me lazy, you ain't me. That's lazy of you to even cut off understanding. So I move on. And then it's like, maybe like, I'm just being me. You know, every day, being me. Not trying to be nobody else. I wake up, I be me. You know? It's hard being me, writing with mental disabilities, physical disabilities, you know, eye and body. It's difficult, but I still progress. You know, as I was listening to an episode on Alone in a Room with Invisible People earlier, listening to my unplayed list of what I haven't listened to yet, I heard them say that like we said earlier, you gotta have that drive, you know. 15 minutes is 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, you know. If you wanna ride a horse, you're gonna go figure out how to ride a horse. You know. Yeah.
you could argue, you know, maybe it's not time for me to ride that horse.
Okay, that's cool.
But when it is time, shout out to Cat Williams, you get on that horse, you better ride it. So, I'm just saying, like, be you, as always, and no matter, you know, respectfully, not discrediting or discarding, you know, respectfully, no matter what you have going on in your life, we'll say it like that. If you want to do something, and this is anything, I know this is a book talk, but this is anything.
Next thing is know your light level.
Start it.
Mm-hmm. And this is, there are kinds of humor that are very
if you don't succeed, I mean, that's part of it. So, you can either try again, depending on how loving and how passionate you are about whatever project you want to start. Or you could say, hey, well, I tried. I'm not saying that as a cop-out, you know. Don't just start stuff and stop stuff. Oh, Mr. Poetall said. No, Mr. Poetall did not say. Mr. Poetall said, see things through. If you really feel like you want to write a book, go write it. You know, and if you need help, as I said, I'm going to put the Discord link of Writing Endeavor's Secret Imagination Place. We sip on writing. And we will converse on how to write your book to the finish. You know, there, not to overwhelm you, there are a lot of steps, just like there is for anything else to start. You know? It's a lot just to walk, you know. You gotta find your balance. You gotta have the courage just to get up. So, hey, that's a lot right there, just in itself. So, writing a book, character building, world building, you know. If you want a language, I mean, you definitely gonna have to do a culture, you know. And I'm speaking, you know, strictly fiction, because that's really all I've done at this moment. I do have the outline for a nonfiction that's later in life, you know. But that's what I'm saying, y'all. You know, set goals. You know, if you know that you want to do something, but you're not ready for it, okay, be reasonable with yourself, all right? Shoot, I'm going to start this in 5 years. Set your calendar. Same way we can get on Facebook, Instagram, SnapTik, Twit, all of it. YouTube and every shit. It don't matter. You know, you can get up on your calendar, set the date. 5 years from now, you don't know how to do that? Go to your calendar in your apps. Everybody got a calendar on their phone. No matter what team you rocking, you got a calendar. They had calendars back in the day when we was young. We're not kids anymore. It's the days we sit and wish we were some kids again. Shout out to Ahmad, wherever you are. What up, dog? You know, that's a part of writing, you know. Let your muse take over. You know, it's where we're at now, you know. We have to let the muse take over. Therefore, ergo, we can write the book to its fullest finish. And I'm not saying overselling it or, you know, putting just a bunch of random dumb shit in there, you know. Just, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just being honest, you know. But when you write the book, you want your main focus, first off, is to write the book. I mean, other people are different, but I personally say that it's best that you write the book to the end, all the way. And I'm talking about even if it's a standalone, if it's a sequel, a trilogy, a whole series, it doesn't matter. You write all of that shit. Write it all. to the end. And then go back, like I said, especially if it's a series, anthology, all the way to the end. You, one by one, edit that shit. You say that's a lot, but how much more work are you doing if you write the book, edit it, write the book, edit it, write the book, edit it. Now, I'm speaking for, you know, non-traditional authors, you know, independent authors. So, traditional, I mean, I've heard about it, you know, I've read about it, I've called about it. Sounds nice, but as most writers are, you know, at least most that I have met, shit, fuck it, you know what I'm saying? We work on our own time. I don't like to be rushed. I set my own goals, you know what I'm saying? Now, yeah, does traditional publishing help? Sure it does. They help you all the way through, you know? Editing, proofreading, revising, all of that. Book cover, book signing, you know, all of that. It's great, you know? Cost about some grands, you know? You know, at least the ones that I done called around is like 10 grand. 10 grand. So, but, you know, it's not a bad thing. Because they provide you with all the services, you know, independent authors, non-traditional, whatever you want to call it. Once you self-publish, you know, you have to do all the legwork, you know, so, and that can be hard too, but if you know how to get on social media, just to get on social media, then, hey, you know how to advertise and market. I'm not saying it's the same, but I am saying it's the same, because nowadays, things go faster, they go faster with social media, online. My man said online. Yo, anybody, sidebar movie, let's get some popcorn, y'all, book talk, hold on, dang, I wish I had some popcorn, y'all. Anyways, I was watching The Internship the other day. Y'all know that movie with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn. I believe John Goodman in it too. But, oh my gosh. That joint is so funny, yo. Y'all go watch that movie. I think it's on YouTube TV, y'all. I'm pretty sure it is. I think that's where I watched it. But, because I don't have all of the streaming things, but I got a few of them. Okay. So, what you call it? Oh, it might have been on Peacock. That nigga said, on the line. So what we got to do is get on the line. Homeboy kept saying, online. online. Anyways, but if you know how to get on the line, online, then
this is a novel.
Really, you know how to self-market and self-advertise, you know, that means you know how to set up book signings, you know, things are made simpler now, getting your own LLC for your business, getting your own, what do you call it, Coco? Not book signing, thank you, girl, let's go back to there. Getting your own book signing done.
Is going to see the future male hero.
And then, I don't even remember. I ain't gonna lie, Mr. Poto smoked and dropped the last little bit of liquor that was in the cup. We still got some in the tub with the Epsom salt and the bubble bath stuff. So, yeah, we're having a good night, though. Eating blueberries. I don't trust drinking this water, because I did put it in the tub. But the cap is closed. But, no, we ain't got a chance. Soap water ain't good.
Probably pretty But if you read a lot, it would be easier for you to come up with your kind of...
No, I mean, self-advertising, self-marketing. I mean, it's like I said, it is a lot, but if you want it, if you got that drive, because everybody got a dream at one point. Everybody got a dream. You know, everybody look up at clouds. Chapter title, everybody looks up at the clouds. Everybody looks up at clouds. Everybody looks up at clouds. Everybody looks up at the clouds. But nah, like, you know, everybody has a dream at one point. And
you're looking at what you
everybody's got the same drive, really.
Expect to have that doesn't
yeah, we sense. All go through shit, you know.
Okay. And
drama and trauma. Fuck it. You know, but we gotta keep pursuing. You know, and for those people that, like I said, mental illnesses, I'm gonna start calling it illnesses. What you call it, that are thinking about suicide, please call the suicide hotline. I don't know the number, but you can Google it. Please Google it, you know. Just, I know life is tough, but, you know, that's really what saved me. You know, Kid Cudi has this song. Shout out to Kid Cudi. Shout out to January 30th. Mr. Moon Man, Mr. Rager, Kid Cudi said that,
I don't know,
y'all, it's hard, you know, mental illness is hard. But, was it Kid Cudi? It might have been Lupe Fiasco. One of the two said, hip-hop saved my life. It might have been Lupe Fiasco. Shout out to Lupe. Shout out to Kid Push. He said, hip-hop saved my life. Writing books saved my life. No jizz, no cheers, no shit, no bullshit. My daddy once caught a bullet with his bare hands. No bullshit. Shout out to Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker. Rush Hour. We watched, well, two of them last night, but I watched the third one tonight. But, cool games. But it's real shit. Like, it's real shit. Writing saved my life. So, to those that are already writing or starting to write or wherever you are in your writing journey and you have mental illnesses and or you were thinking of suicide, not only call the suicide hotline and or get not just help, get support. Get somebody who's going to support you and uplift you. And you'll know. If you don't like how they treat you, then keep it moving. There's somebody out there. Don't give up. You know? And while you're looking for support and upliftance, you know, then continue or start writing your book. You know? As I said, my Discord will be in the description. So, it's just like anything else, it's a challenge. I'm not going to say it's hard. Let me, if that's what we're going to discredit, discard, erase, we're going to say it's not hard. Because actually, it's fun. That's what you really love and want and are passionate to do, then it's fun. You know, as they say, you know, I was talking to a friend down the street. They're talking about age-old sayings, but as they say, you know, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. I don't work. The most work that I do is that I feel is just me moving around. That's just because of my body. Whatever juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, JRA, rheumatoid arthritis, RA, or osteoarthritis, OA, whatever the diagnosis is concretely, that's the most work that I do all day. And people say that I'm lazy because I sit around. First off, I mean, it's very hard for me to move around. And when I do move around, I get tired easily. So that's why we have a walking stick. Shout out to Jalapeno, our walking stick. Shout out to Lily Pad, our peace lily. Shout out to Cocoa Beans, and Smoked Beans, and the Gray Beans, and the Freddy and the Betty Beans. Yo, you know, use your muse. Let your muse use you. Introduce yourself to your muse, and let your muse introduce yourself to you. Hi. I'm Muse. And really, I named my Muse today Muse. What we did is flipped an M to a W. But instead of saying woos, say we use. Like we use. We use the Muse. You know? So, which is not a bad thing. You know? We're using the Muse's tools and elegance and definery and every good word that comes to mind when you think of your Muse and think of goodness in writing. Whether it's a bad scene, horror scene, laughing scene, crime scene, mystery scene, murder scene, funny scene, romance scene, drama scene, doesn't matter. Somebody could be killing somebody on one side and kissing on the other. Could be having a funeral and a wedding at the same time. It don't matter, you know. But what you call it? The fact is, use your muse. So for us, we named our muse Muse. So what up, Muse? Listen to this before.
So the next question is
you gotta let that muse take over so you can write the book. Then you can turn around and let your left brain, your logic brain, turn around and edit your book to the fullest point. That might take a few different edits and revisions and proofreadings. You know, that's what beta readers are for. You know, you don't know what a beta reader is. It's somebody that will willingly read your book, you know, for free. They are on your team to help you figure out, you know, some are there to do everything, you know, help you figure out like syntax, if things make sense, the flow, the conversation, you know, monologue, dialogue, story, everything, you know. If things make sense, the conflict, you know, from the beginning to the climax to the resolution, you know, all the way to the end. That's what beta readers are, and that's what they are for. If you don't know how to get a beta reader, my suggestion is to get on Tumblr, and which is T-U-M-B-L-R. It's an app, just like Facebook, if you don't know. If you do, get me immediately telling you exactly what you already know. But if you didn't know, Tumblr is an app, and you can just go up there and search, go to the search, a little magnifying glass, and search for beta readers. If you don't know how to spell beta readers, it's B-E-T-A space R-E-A-D-E-R-S. Once again, for the people that already know, skip me immediately telling you about what you already know. My bad, you know. But, you know, you just, my preference, my style of writing. Yes, I know in the last episode we talked about pantsing and plotting, which, you know, I said I do a little bit of both. But when it comes to actually writing the story, I write first, you know. I try very, very hard to limit my editing if I do any editing. The only time that I really do editing, anybody, everybody, guys, gals, people, is when, say, I just got done writing, and say I pick it back up whenever I pick it back up, and my thing is I have to retrace my book thought, my story thought, and figure out, okay, where was I? So not only do I go to the last line of where I was at, I go up a few lines, maybe paragraphs, depending on how you write your book, how you write in your style. I do differently. Everybody does differently. To each their own. But, you know, respectfully, but it's, I like to write first and then go back and edit. Because when I do that, you know, once I go back and retrace my thought, and I go up a few lines or paragraphs, whatever, and I might see, I try not to do any, like, punctuation, like commas, unless it's, like, a quotation mark, you know, that's missing. That's really about it. If I do any commas, it's because Google Docs caught it. But mainly I do, like, typos, misspellings, you know, things that, like I said, typos, things that I meant to say something else, but it got something else. So if I do any critical editing, which isn't really critical, it's, you know, if I missed of the, you know, for some reason, and that sounds better, you know, I might do that. But I very much limit all my editing, because I'm not saying that I'm not, but I'm not saying that I am. You know, I'm saying that I'm writing my book, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm loving it, and I know it will sell. I have faith, and I have confidence in my book. That's another thing. Have faith and confidence in your book. Don't listen to the haters. Don't listen to the forgetters. Don't listen to the naysayers. You know, the forgetters are the ones that they forgot who you were, or they forgot not only who you were, but the fact that you were there to console them and put them on the map, and now they're shitting on you. So don't listen to the forgetters, the naysayers, the haters, the shitters. Don't listen to none of them people. But what you do listen to is yourself. Know that, yes, your book will indeed not be edit worthy by the end, whenever you decide to edit it, you know. So as most authors or people that, well, yeah, authors, writers, whatever, that write, they will tell you, book writers will tell you that your first draft will suck. Yeah and no. You know, I don't like the word suck, but I mean, I'm gonna try not to say it's not gonna be good. It's just not gonna be edit worthy, you know. So you're gonna catch those typos and, you know, misspellings and grammar and punctuation and all that other stuff that, you know, you need to finish the book and make it look neat and fancy and pretty, you know, for the readers and listeners out there, your audience. Because after all, unless you're just writing a book just to write a book and you're not looking to sell it, you know, then that's totally fine too. But if you're looking to sell it, then that's the key. You know, you have to sell for your audience and make it look neat. So don't expect to, quote unquote, once your book is finished and you're at that part where you're about to edit it, and I'm talking about, you know, first edit, you know, not second. I mean, second too, but, you know, once you know it's neat, and you'll know because it's your book, it's your project. Once you know and you're on that final edit, you know, that'll be different. But when, what is that right there? Oh, that's it. When you know that your first edit is not going to be edit worthy, so it's going to have all of those comma splices and such, then you're already in a better mind, you know, because you're not, one, you're not listening to the haters, the naysayers and all them, but you're listening to yourself, so you already know that it's not going to be edit worthy, you know, and three, fuck them, they're not writing a book, and if they are, fuck them, it's your book anyway, you know. Yeah, you can always ask for advice, but in the end, and this is anybody in any situation because we are our own any person, we're going to do whatever we want to do, the fuck we want to do, anyways, you know, that's just life, you know, we listen to some things, but most, how do you learn? By trying, you know, so. Try it. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the best thing about writing is not only the writing, the editing, the world building, character building, and, you know, all of that that comes with that. Everything about writing a book, to whatever extent, however many it is. The best things about writing besides that is just talking about it. I really have fun talking about this to y'all because not a lot of people, you know, really know. You know, some book readers know, you know, that I've talked to. That's why I say not a lot of people. So that's my own POV, point of view. But not a lot of people know what it really takes to write a book, and that's why I'm talking to y'all, because whether you are, that's Cloud coming out, y'all, you'll see him and hear him soon.
Yeah, there's a lot of
ladies. What's up, dude? What you doing, dude? Washing my feet. That's Cloud, everybody. Cloud, everybody.
Okay, so
hey.
She's obviously,
hey.
You know, involved. But
this case here, right?
Clues that upon rereading
through,
you see,
doing you. As I've said through every season of this podcast and this just life journey, you know, from being a poet to a writer to an author to a dog father, a cat father, a flower father, a walking stick father, you know, having many different homes and 12, 13 years, you know, getting to where I am, realizing that this is the nook that I always pray for, because now I have a nook, y'all. I have a nook and a library. And it's beautiful. You know, it's mine. So I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying life. That's what I'm saying, you know. When you write, and especially when you let the muse take over, also, and when you're letting the muse take over, when you're just strictly writing, as we talked about, but when you're letting your muse take over, then you enjoy life better. You know, you just wake up. Like one time, I'll say this. I let my muse take over, like, I was maybe about 2 years ago. I was sitting in my kitchen. This is probably about 2 seasons ago, maybe 3 seasons ago. So, what season are we on? Season 6. So, this might have been season 3. We were in the trailer then. I told you, I move around. What Tupac say? I get around. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I let the muse take over. King of the city shit. You know, I let the muse wake me up. You know, we took Coco out, did our business, you know. The number ones and the number twos. You know, smoked the L, rake and bake. And then it was time to eat, you know. We was about to either watch TV, listen to a book, or play a video game, whatever we was doing. But we was like, Dad, we want to eat, but we ain't really want to eat a lot. I was like, muse, you know, before, you know, just straight, you know, just muse, whatever. Muse was like, yo, I want some English breakfast tea, herbal tea. Told me that, you know, days before, so I bought it. I don't know what I'm getting. And then, not only did Muse say, Muse said, I want some English breakfast tea. I don't remember if we put honey in it or not. We probably did because we like honey. It tastes just like honey. So dance with me. It tastes just like honey. But Muse was like, I want some burnt bacon. I said, hold up now, Muse. Hold up. What you mean burnt bacon? Muse was like, you know what I mean. I want burnt bacon. I want my bacon with a crisp, like our hot dogs, our red hot dogs. Y'all know if you're from the South in America, you know, everybody know about them red hot dogs, especially in North Carolina, you know. So, what you call it? We made that bacon, burnt it up, put a nice crisp to it. And ate it. Now he did not like the English breakfast tea. That was not our favorite. I think I don't know what we did with the rest of that tea. We just did one pack. We might have did two. I don't know. But, excuse me, that was not our favorite, y'all. But that burnt bacon, y'all. Oh, when I go to Waffle House now, yeah, can y'all burn my bacon? I don't even say put a little burn on it. No, that's hot dog language. Burn my bacon. But I want it with a crisp. I want to hear it crunch. I don't like that slick, juicy, greasy shit. No, that's not how I like my bacon. That's nasty. It's not good for you. You're just eating fat. I mean, you're still eating fat, but if it's cooked all the way, then it's cooked fat, you know? Fat back. Shout out to my papa. What up, papa? Yeah. You know, and that's what your muse does. Like, it'll take things in life, in your life, that you did not or do like, and it'll tell you, hey, let's write a story. And whether it's nonfiction or fiction, respectively, you write your story to the fullest of your capability, because everybody is capable to write a story, period, but also, and everybody is capable to write a story that wants to write a story. So, write your story, y'all. You know, it's very fun. I know nonfiction is kind of different, you know. I'm talking about all in nonfiction and self-help and, you know, recipes and, you know, just every different type of nonfiction. Stories that aren't fiction, you know, we'll just say it like that. But both stories still have to be written. And whether or not, like I said earlier, whether or not you want to publish it or not, that's up to you. But as they just said, it's out there. We've done it. You know, and for most authors that I've talked to, writing, as I said earlier, saves lives. You know, it helps heal from your pain, from your drama and your trauma in your life. So, therefore, ergo, let's write a book, yeah. Let's write a book. This has been Book Talk with Mr. Poto. I hope y'all enjoyed another podcast, season 6, episode 2. I really hope we're in season 6, but I'm saying season 6. But I don't know. I think we are. But I love y'all. Y'all know we keep it real, we keep it fresh, we keep it gangster. Love y'all and peace.